Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, we know that he hasn't had much fun this past month, but Governor Cuomo, speaking at a news conference and likely trying to change the subject, said that entertainment and event venues can reopen April 2nd at 33% capacity, with a limit of 100 people indoors or 200 outdoors, and a requirement that all attendees wear masks and be socially distanced. Now, those limits will be increased if all test negative before entering. It's assumed that some of the earliest performances would take place with pop-up programs inside theaters, as well as in nonprofit venues that have flexible spaces. Places like the Apollo, the Park Avenue Armory, St. Anne's Warehouse, the Shed, Harlem Stage, and perhaps places in other cities in New York. Already there has been some cautious optimism or optimistic caution. For example, Syracuse Stage put out a statement saying, "While we want nothing more than to open our doors and welcome back our artists and loyal patrons, there are still many unknowns that must be considered before we can offer any definitive plans. We must carefully prepare for any protocols required and be considerate of the comfort level of our patrons," end quote. Well, we know they're doing it in Australia, so fingers crossed. In the meantime, it remains a good time to look back as well as forward. In that spirit, the big event last week was the 25th anniversary of Rent, which also served as a benefit for the New York Theater Workshop. The names involved were impressive. The original cast members, Taye Diggs, Adam Pascal, and Daphne Rubin Vega, as well as Rent fans like Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's everywhere these days, Anna Leigh Ashford, Neil Patrick Harris, Ben Platt, and many more. Some teared up recalling playwright Jonathan Larson's talent and describing the difficulty of carrying on with the show whose success he would never see. Larson, of course, died the night of the first preview performance, almost incomprehensible to imagine. As for what continues to be offered while we wait, well, last month was all about those of color. Maybe you could say last year was. This month, the subject seems to be women. For starters, as in tonight, go to Broadway.com to enjoy a celebration of International Women's Day. That includes a conversation about gender equality in the theater industry. Laura Benante, Karen Olivo, and Lynn Nottage are among the participants in that one. Women also play a role in Final Boarding Call, which tells the story of those involved in the recent Hong Kong protests. The play revolves around seven very different characters, including a protesting brother, a flight attendant's sister struggling to keep her job, a mainland Chinese mother and her strange Hong Kong daughter, a non-Cantonese-speaking reporter and her Indian partner, and an American expat, CEO, and Hong Kong lover living in the shadows. Well, that should cover every possible audience member. Final Boarding Call comes via the Women's Project Theater. I think I've said that my most valuable players theater of the past year may be the Great Barrington Stage Company. Well, by the way, they did two great women, one-woman shows in 2020. So here are the enticing ingredients of some of its coming works. Lizzie Borden, Cupid, Brownies, Laced with Pot. Well, they're all part of Great Barrington's virtual 10x10 New Play Festival. These were filmed live and will stream from online from March 11th to 14th. That would be Thursday through Sunday. Keeping with the female theme, while we await the Broadway revival of Tony Kushner's Caroline or Change, its star, Olivia Award-winning Sharon D. Clarke, is sharing her talents online. Her concert is part of Tonight at the London Coliseum, a month-long series available to stream beginning March 15th through Broadway on Demand. I'll probably remind you of that next Monday as well. Again this week, I have something for the young, female in particular, members of the family. Theater J in Washington offers Four Fables and a Queen. This piece is said to capture theater lovers of all ages with its combination of fables, rhymes, and virtuosic mime. That's Theater J in our nation's capital. From the young to the very old, not theatergoers per se, but companies that honor works of old. The Mint is continuing its remembrances of past playwrights, women at this time. You can now go to the company's site and read about one Regina M. Anderson. She was born in 1901, died in 1993. Anderson is remembered today as the librarian at the nexus of the Harlem Renaissance. She co-founded something called the Krigwa Players with W.E.B. Du Bois and later served as the executive director of the Harlem Experimental Theater. Anderson authored multiple plays in the 1930s, all under her pen name Ursula Trelling. Let's hope when normal returns, the Mint retrieves one of her works for us to see. The Penumbra Theater, which is in St. Paul, which I visited and reported on a few years back, is all about issues of gender and racial equality, or lack thereof. When it started, Penumbra performed almost all of the August Wilson canon. Well, tomorrow, Tuesday, March 9th, the company will present a discussion focusing on environmental racism, social justice, and the arts. It's free, but registration is required. It could be an interesting inside look at how theaters are beginning to pivot and prepare. Again, that's the Penumbra, P-E-N-U-M-B-R-A. And finally, well, almost finally, they are in the continuing saga of the stalled Tony Awards. The latest report tells us they are moving slowly forward, the voting supposedly covering shows that run from April 26, 2019, to February 19th, 2020, heading toward a ceremony which has not yet been scheduled. Well, here's what we do know, or at least what we can ask. Who votes? Well, more than the Foreign Press Association, who give out the Golden Globes, but there are only 778 Tony voters, and they can only cast ballots in categories in which they've seen all the nominees. Well, because the pandemic prevented any spring theater going, there are fewer qualified voters than usual. The Tonys won't say how many people will actually be able to vote in each category, but producers believe slightly fewer than 400 will qualify to cast ballots for Best Musical, fewer than that for Best Play. So, as we always say, stay tuned. By the way, one show that was set to have opened and maybe would be earning nominations about now was Six, S-I-X, about all those wives of Henry VIII. So tonight, also to celebrate International Women's Day, we can join the original cast of Six, the musical, for a special Q&A with the artist and never before behind-the-scenes footage of interviews. That one could be found via the Thespi site. That's T-H-E-S-P-I-E. They have good stuff on that site. Now, Six, of course, comes from England, and during the pandemic, we've been fortunate to view a lot from that country, one of those silver linings. The young Vic in London somehow anticipated the future a few years ago by beginning to make digital companions to some of its shows. Well, now they're online for free. These include The Departure, which imagines Blanche DuBois in the days before her visit to Stella in A Streetcar Named Desire, Mayday, a postscript to Beckett's Happy Days, starring Juliet Stevenson, and Nora, yet another update of A Doll's House. Most interestingly, there's one called The Roof, whose cast includes Natalie Dormer, Jude Law, and Ian McKellen. You can check out all those via youngvic.org. All this, okay, plus the much-discussed Oprah interview with a pair of royals, reminds me that I have been making my way through the biography of today's most prestigious British playwright, Tom Stoppard. Okay, breaking my week's theme, he is a man, but this 800-page tome is written by the highly respected Hermione Lee. It's filled with details, something too much, but just when I consider hopping ahead, I find myself enthralled by something. Like Stoppard's initial journalism career, his evolving love of theater, his early friendship with Peter O'Toole, and more. Hermione Lee manages to connect his peripatetic early years from Czechoslovakia to Singapore to India to England to the works that we would be enjoying and trying valiantly to be smart enough to understand many years later. I was surprised and even took pleasure in learning that Stoppard did not go to college and that his early plays were rejected or tossed out and that he admitted to a close friend, "I'm the kind of writer who constantly needs reassurance." Well, Jill, maybe Tom Stoppard is human after all.
Oh, we knew that, did we not?
I guess so. And I guess everybody needs reassurance, don't we, every once in a while?
Yeah, yes. And the thing that always amazes me is when you look back on someone's storied, marvelous career, one forgets that, you know, overnight success often takes a long time.
That's right. He would be the first to say it. I think his first play, well, I haven't even gotten to his first full-length play, but I think he was in his late 20s. But pretty good, pretty interesting. You know, after reading the Mike Nichols book, they've been interesting companions. And they both have the same title, as I've told you before, A Life. Tom Stoppard, A Life. Mike Nichols, A Life.
Right, and I will use this opportunity, irrespective of gender, to remind you about Smashed by Garson Kanin. And the William Goldman book on Broadway title eluding me, but it's absolutely
fine. Last season, something like that, something about the season.
That's right. It's called The Season.
Yeah. Yes, a number of people told me they heard you talk about that, and they were ordering those books, so that was good that you did.
It's just for backstory, so that, you know, again, the more ancient I become, the more interested I am in letting people know, not the bad, the bones, the skeleton of what was before. Forget, you know, yes, humans are humans. Humans have foibles. Some humans have done really horrible things, and they should be censured for those really horrible things, etc. But that being said, you still got to look at the bones of the operation so that you know how to do it going forward. And if nothing else, plays have been around for a bit, right? So
yes, they have, especially in England, as we know, starting with the Bard and all that. But yeah, it's always
spectacle
helpful.
And entertainment was, you know, pre-Bard.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, humans like a little bit of entertainment. It's not always lions eating people, you know.
Oh, that's right. And we are getting close. I mean, I also remain cautiously optimistic. This feels like we'll see if the Tonys happen. I think in a funny way, even though nobody cares, they don't even care. You know, 9/10 of the country doesn't even care when they're normal Tonys. But I think that'll be an important sign, a signal that, you know, hey, we're taking this seriously and we really are moving forward, you know. So remembering the past, whenever that was. And it's feeling like we're getting warmer.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.